The scripture reading for this morning is Daniel chapter 1, starting at verse 8 and going through verse 21, which is the end of the chapter. Daniel chapter 1, starting at verse 8. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank, so he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king, who has appointed your food and your drink, for why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king. But Daniel said to the overseer whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence, and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink, and kept giving them vegetables. And for these 4 youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then at the end of the days which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and out of them all not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king.
Daniel is one of the Old Testament faithful men that we read about. It's not just Daniel that we read in the Old Testament about, that we have faithful men and women that we can understand, see how they lived, and most of all, learn from them, emulate what they did. The Bible is full of them. If you would turn, and even the Apostle Paul realized that when he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians. Because in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 12, that's what Paul is talking about. These Old Testament faithful men and women that we read about, that they are to be an example to us. So in verse 1 of chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 1, Paul writes, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren." I had to make sure that microphone was on. "I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things, as they also craved. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and to stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble, as some of they did, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore," in verse 12, Paul's summing it up, "therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." We can look back upon not just Daniel, but we can look at Joseph, we can look at Joshua, we can look at Caleb, we look at Ruth, Esther, men and women that were faithful to God. It was their purpose, as we read in verse 8 of Daniel 1. The New American Standard said made up his mind, but other versions will say Daniel purposed in his heart. to follow the Lord, to do those things. And that's what these men and faithful men and women did that we read about in the Old Testament. So I'd like to share just some points about Daniel and what he did as a faithful man of God. So we also see that Daniel is one of those persons of a man like Joseph who obtained preeminence and power in his lifetime. But like the others, Daniel refused to defile himself. As we read in chapter 1, verses 8 through 21, he refused to defile himself with the king's food. But he would rather that he follow God's word, no compromises, that he worked it out with the guard so that the guard would not lose his head, that and he still worked it out in a way that he was able to not compromise himself or the others by defiling themselves with the king's food. We see that Daniel started out as one of the children of Israel, not just anyone, but he was preeminent among the children of Israel. We read that in verses 3 and through verse 6. 3 and verse 6, the king ordered the officials, or the king of his chief of his officials, to bring some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had the ability in serving in the king's court. He ordered him to teach them the literature of the language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed them for a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine in which they drank. And he appointed that they should be educated 3 years, and at the end of the day they had entered the king's personal service. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Do we not see that they were men of preeminence and power in his lifetime? We also see that he gained preeminence among the wise of the men, wise men of Babylon, in verses 17 through 20, as we read. We also see that he was giving power over all of Babylon because of the person that Daniel was. Look, flip over to Daniel 2 and look at verse 48. Daniel 2 and verse 48. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel made requests of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of the province of Babylon while Daniel was at the king's court. Do we not see that these three men, Shadrach, because that's the names that they were given. We understand their names were not that at first, but that's the names we read in chapter 2. That they were given power all over Babylon. Daniel was, and Daniel requested the other three to be at his side as he served at the king's court. And again, we can read that in chapter 5 and in verse 29. As we see in verse 29 of chapter 5, that they took purple and clothed Daniel. And we understand that being clothed in purple meant that that was royalty. Sounds very similar to that of what we read about Joseph, doesn't it? As Joseph, too, was given power over all of pretty much Egypt, in Potiphar, as Potiphar's assistant, and also later on he served under the Pharaoh. Only thing Pharaoh did was just watch Joseph rule over Egypt, pretty much. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? So he received also power over the Medo-Persian Empire in Daniel 6. If you turn to Daniel 6 in verses 1 through 3. Not only did Daniel rule over the Babylon, or have power over Babylon, he also had power in the Medo-Persian Empire. Look at verses 1 through 3. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, and they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. In verse 3, this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. So we see that Daniel rose to power over Babylon, over the Medo-Persian Empire. He was one of the chosen children, preeminent children of Israel. But yet in all this that Daniel received, he did not compromise himself. He did not compromise. But to ask that raises a question to us. How was Daniel able to do this? How was Daniel able to reach these positions and power and influence without compromising himself as a faithful, godly man? As we look at the book of Daniel, we see that it does reveal some of the secrets in how Daniel was able to do that. And we too can learn how to be successful as Daniel without selling our souls. Well, first of all, we see that Daniel was a man of purpose. In verse 8 of chapter 1, it says that Daniel made up his mind, or Daniel purposed. As a young boy in a strange land, Daniel immediately faced with the challenge to violate God's law by eating the king's food. That was his first challenge. Despite his youth and the obvious pressures to conform, Daniel purposed in his heart to uphold the law of God no matter the cost. How many of us in the world we live in today, when we are pressured from all sides, ridiculed maybe even because we believe in God, or we may even have a Bible on our desk at work, sometimes feel a need to compromise our beliefs because of this pressure. Think of the pressure that Daniel faced, but yet he did not compromise. I know sometimes in this world, all around us, is sin. And that can pressure us from all sides and make us want to do those things that they do, compromising our faith in God. I hope and pray that we do not compromise ourselves, but we do have it all around us. Just remember Daniel and how he was strong enough and not to compromise his beliefs in God, and I think we'll be okay. And as we look a little further, we'll see more of the attributes that Daniel had that helped him not to compromise during all these things that were happening to him. And despite the youth and obvious pressures, as we talked about, but also Daniel purposed in his heart, because of this willingness to put God first, I believe that was one of the reasons that God granted Daniel favor in the sight of others. First and foremost in Daniel's heart was to put God first. First and foremost. And we saw that in the fact that he did not want to eat of the king's food and defile himself. He was not going to. And I don't know, I can't say, but even if they hadn't been able to work it out with the guard, as sad as it may have been, Daniel still would not have compromised. And unfortunately, that guard possibly would have lost his head. But it worked out that he did not. And it worked out in such a way that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked better than the other youths who were eating the king's food. So we also see that we talked about that this, in the very same way, it happened in the case of Joseph. In Genesis 39, verses 1 through 4, if you turn there with me. Genesis 39. In verse 1 it says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of the Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. He made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge." So I read that and I got to thinking, how did Potiphar see that Jehovah was with Joseph? How did he know that? Isn't it evident that there was something in the way Joseph conducted himself, the way that he spoke, the words that he spoke, and the things that he did that Potiphar saw that God was with them. But we see that because of his faithfulness to God and his purpose to serve God, even Joseph raised to power and good things happened to him. I don't believe Joseph either was willing to compromise like Daniel in any way. But also we see that every child, like Daniel, a man of purpose, every child of God needs to be a person of purpose. We all, as children of God, we need to tell ourselves that our purpose is to serve God. You know, in today's world, I don't think there's any of us in here this morning that respects somebody who's wishy-washy. A person or someone who can't decide which direction they want to go. I don't think there's anybody here, if you're driving somewhere, would want to follow somebody that didn't know which way they were going or where they were going, because we would both be lost. So, but there is a strong sense of purpose in individuals that often breeds respect and admiration in others. If we stand firm in our beliefs to God and stand firm in our convictions, yes, we may get ridiculed. Yes, people might say things about us. They might even make fun of you. But in the end, who would they trust to handle something of grave importance to them? Would they turn to the others who made fun of you along with them? I think they would look at you because they see the respect, the admiration, and the confidence and the principle that you have in yourselves. No one respects a wishy-washy person. So, as far as the Christian, what should the purpose of a Christian be? Well, I think Jesus makes it clear in Matthew 6 and verse 33 when he says to seek the will of God and to fulfill it in our lives no matter what the circumstances are. God's favor towards us and in turn likely gain us favor in the eyes of those around us. Even though sometimes we may not see it, but in the end, I believe we can gain favor in that regard. With that in thought, we also see that Daniel was a man of principle. So, if we are going to purpose in our heart like Daniel had, no matter how young one may be, it's never too early to tell ourselves to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, as Jesus pointed out in Matthew 6 and verse 33. But Daniel also was a man of principle, and we too need to be men and women of principle. Daniel's principle caused him to refuse to compromise his convictions. As a young man, by refusing to eat the king's meat or drink or wine, in Daniel 1 and verse 8. As an old man, by refusing the gifts of Belshazzar, in chapter 5, if you would turn there, verse 13, beginning at verse 13. And Daniel was brought in before the king, and the king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who is one of the exiles from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? Now I have heard about you that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that illumination, insight, and extraordinary wisdom have been found in you. Just now the wise men and the conjurers were brought in before that they might read this inscription and make its interpretation known to me, but they could not declare the interpretations of this message. But I personally have heard about you and that you are able to give interpretations and solve difficult problems. Now if you are able to read the inscription and make its interpretation known to me, you will be clothed in purple and wear a necklace of gold around your neck, and you will have authority as the third ruler in the kingdom." And Daniel answered and said before the king, "Keep your gifts for you yourself, or give your rewards to someone else. However, I will read the inscription to the king and make the interpretations known to him." Daniel, again, even in his old age, he refused to compromise. Even under the threat of persecution, by refusing to obey the decree of Darius in chapter 6 and in verse 10, it says that Daniel, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, that was the document that the king did not want to see anybody praying. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, and he had been, as he had been doing previously, even under the threat of persecution, Daniel did not compromise by refusing to obey the decree of Darius. He did not cease because of this threat. We are not threatened physically. We might be threatened verbally. We might even read written letters that threaten us because of our beliefs. But we're not threatened physically. Do we compromise ourselves over simple things like that? Think of Daniel. He was under the threat of persecution, even death. But yet he did not compromise. People admire those who have principle, which Daniel had. Outwardly, they may ridicule him. Inwardly, they wish they had the same intestinal fortitude. When they need something that can be, or need someone that can be trusted and depended upon to carry through with an assigned task, who do you think they will turn to? The man that they ridicule and make fun of but has principle? As I said earlier, maybe the man who's faithful to God and will not compromise, but yet has principle. I think I would have confidence that a man or a person like that would be able to do those things or be trusted with those things and depended on to carry out an assigned task. God also admires individuals who will stand by their principles. If you turn over to the Psalm, to the Psalms, Psalms chapter 15. In Psalms 15, the writer writes, O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. The psalm writer is writing here that God admires those individuals that stand by their principles, stand by their words. And frankly, I think our society is in great need of a lot more people who will stand with principle. Those who dare to be a Daniel and demonstrate by example the value of being led by principle rather than by price or some other thing are not only highly valued by God, but also by their fellow man. But having the purpose and principle is not all. Another element for true success is needed, as we see in Daniel. That element is and can be seen when you observe that not only Daniel was a man of purpose, a man of principle, but he was a man of purity. He was faultless when it came to the management of his business affairs. If you flip back to the book of Daniel, chapter 6, we read the first three verses. Let's read verse 4. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regards to government affairs, but they could not find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was found in him. They tried, brethren. They tried really hard to find something in Daniel, but they weren't able to. Can we say that about ourselves when people try to find something wrong with us? Or maybe something that we do that might not be according to God's word or how we follow God? Maybe they're able to point out some error that we claim that we're, you know, we claim we're followers of God, but yet, yeah, but I've seen you do so-and-so or do this or that. I hope that we can honestly say that we, like Daniel, that they cannot find anything among us that points to something that would not be right or pure. Our society is in great people, the need to be able to lead people, if I have people of purity. His opponents could not find any fault in him. But we also see this would help explain that because of his purity, because of his principle, and because of his purpose, why he rose to positions of great responsibility and power. And of course, his purity in business affairs was related to his overall purpose for one thing. That was to please God for one thing. And the fact that as a man of principle, he could be trusted. He could be trusted. It's shameful to think that there's not as many people in this world that we can turn to that truly have principle and can be trusted. Christians are to maintain purity of conduct, whether young or of old. Whether young or old, if you will turn in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, telling him, "Let no one despise thy youth." I'm going to need to turn it to get the rest of the verbiage. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and look at verse 12. "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, in conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example. An example, brethren, of those who believe." Show yourself to be an example. The Apostle Paul also writes to the man Titus in chapter 2. Look at verses 6 through 8. "Likewise, urge the young man to be sensible in all things. Show yourselves to be an example of good deeds, with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us." Did we not see that about Daniel? They tried. They tried to find something about Daniel, but they couldn't. Why? Because I believe Daniel was sound in speech. He was pure in doctrine, dignified, beyond reproach, so that others who tried to point out bad things about him would be put to shame. That's what happened, as we see, whether slave or free also. In Titus chapter 2, look at verses 9 and 10. "Urge the bondservants to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect." People who maintain purity in their dealings with others are often given positions of great responsibility and privilege because they can be trusted to be used or use them wisely. They can be trusted. Those who are honest, pure, have principle and purpose, those are the types that can be truly trusted. But yes, Daniel was a young man of purpose. He was a young man of principle. And he was a young man of purity. And so, like I said, how the world needs him. Men like more people like him. Not just men, but women. Women also. But the element that likely tied all these together, purpose, principle, and purity, in such a way to receive blessings from God and favor from man, is the fact that Daniel also was a man of prayer. We look at Daniel 6 and in verse 10 and we can see a glimpse of the prayer habits of Daniel. In chapter 6 and in verse 10, Daniel knew the document was signed under persecution, threat of persecution. He entered the house, now in his roof chamber, had the windows open towards Jerusalem. He continued kneeling on his knee 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before God, as he had been often doing previously. Do we not see that Daniel was a man of prayer? And even under threat of persecution, he did not compromise. He prayed 3 times daily. 3 times daily, a demonstration of how he depended upon God. He depended upon God with his prayers. He gave thanks in the midst of persecution, demonstrating his gratitude and the fact that he had not lost sight of those blessings that God gave him. He knew where these blessings came from, and in that, he prayed to God continually. His prayers were accustomed since his early days, demonstrating his persistence and faithfulness in his service to God. In his service to God. Is it not likely that this custom to pray so diligently helped him to remain a man of purpose, to remain a man of principle and purity, despite his rise to power and preeminence in the empire. You think about that, and I think that if it would do well for Christians to follow Daniel's example. It would do well for all of us to follow Daniel's example in prayer. As Christians, we too are often commanded to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 17 through 18 tells us to pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. In Colossians 4 and verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer. Are we willing to be a Daniel in regards to prayer? Daniel also prayed with humility, as we saw that he knelt when he prayed. Am I saying that we have to kneel when we pray? Well, no. What I'm saying is that we do have to come to God with a humble heart. Put the pride aside and come to God with a humble heart and pray to Him to continually be with us. Unfortunately, not many are willing to dare to be a Daniel in regards to prayer. I find myself at different times, of all the things that a Christian ought to do, one of the things that I feel that I lack is that I don't pray enough. Prayer means a lot, not only for ourselves, but it means a lot to God. Because to God, you're saying, God, I rely on You. God, I depend on You. Help me this day. We rely a lot on the Father above. And even the finest of God's servants must maintain a fixed prayer habit. Are we willing to be a Daniel in all things? Are we willing to be a Daniel in purpose, in principle, in purity, and also in prayer? There's a false assumption in this world today to get ahead that one must conform to the sinful practices of this world. That is so far from the truth. But even today, there are many Christians who demonstrate that when one dares to be a Daniel, they can succeed in the affairs of men without selling our souls to the world. I'm reminded of what Randy read this morning in Hebrews 12 in regards to Daniel with being a person of purpose, principle, purity, and prayer. He read in Hebrews 12 about running. We all are running this race. Let us all run it with endurance. But not only just endurance, but let us all run it with purpose, with principle, with purity, and with prayer. So how about you this morning? Do you dare to be a Daniel by becoming a person of not only purpose and not only principle and not only purity, but also of prayer? All of these we saw in Daniel, the qualities that he had. And as I said earlier, let's let that be an example to us, that we too can follow Daniel's pattern. Becoming a man of purpose, man of principle, man of purity, and a man of prayer. I thank you for your kind attention this morning, and I hope that everything that was said this day, that anything that I've taught this morning, that if there's anything different that you feel needs to be talked about, let us know, or let me know. Let's discuss it. But I appreciate your attention. I'm glad that you're here this morning. If you're not a child of God and you're here, then you're part of the world, lost forever. You can change that. You can become a person like Daniel, of purpose, principle, purity, prayer, and most of all, purpose in your hearts to serve God. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, let's make that decision now. Why not? The baptistry is ready. We're here to help. We're here to pray with you and to be with you and to hold you up. If you are a child of God and maybe you haven't lived with purpose, maybe we've lacked in some principle, even purity, and maybe our prayer life has lacked, and we need the help and the prayers of the brethren here. Why not make that known? I urge you to come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.